I have a magazine in my office called Decision. It's the whole life of Billy Graham. And my grandson was in there today saying, who's this? And he asked questions. And he pulled out something, and I said, you need to read this today.
Amen.
So my grandson, Matt, and I had a little crying session in my office. Am I right, Matt? So Matt, come on up. He'll make me cry.
Jeez.
Come on up, Matt. Now, whatever you do, you never look at the people. Because some of them don't look too good. So you don't look at the people.
Okay.
Amen. Hold on a minute. I'll give you a microphone too, you know. Say hello to everybody.
Hi.
You can't see him. He's got to go on the step.
All right, go up on the step here, Matt. You're a little here. Oh, get in front, sure.
I have found that when I present the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with authority, quoting the very word of God, he takes that message and drives it supernaturally into the human heart.
Billy Graham. Isn't that good? Thanks, Matt. It wasn't too bad, right? Well, a holiday called Christmas is coming up, and I was supposed to be done with talking about fear. So after this week, I'm going to move to talk about Christmas. Then I'm going to come back to fear. All right? You know, even though they said to the angel said to the shepherds, fear not. I could do that, but I want to talk about Jesus and concentrate, if you don't mind, all right? But get ready because it's going to come back at us, amen? So if you don't mind, listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We've been here for months and months and months, and I really am trying to get away from it, but I have to be led by the Spirit of God. It says this, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Listen to me. Fear is a spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit today about, if you don't mind, in a couple of minutes, about how to uproot fear. I'm going to tell you how to do it. And I've had to do the same thing. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. I've had to do the same thing. I'm going to instruct you to take a good look at. Fair enough? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so that it no longer is affected in illogical, unfounded, absurd thoughts. How many of you know there's a lot of stuff out there? I got a letter in the mail from somebody, and I kind of opened it up because I like to read the mail, and I saw one line in there, just one little line in there, and I couldn't get the thing out of my head. I could not get the thing out of my head. So my wife and I, what we've decided to do is simply this, is we've balanced out what's been coming into our lives from outside the Word of God. And it's made a total difference in our welfare. Because my spirit and my wife's spirit were agitated all the time. We said, well, it's just the world we live in. It's a society that we live in, and there's so much going on. But the Holy Spirit said something very clearly to me, and it came out of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 25, says this, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. See, what is out there is not what's in here.
Amen.
I've been doing a study, and I've been calling this not just my Bible, but my Holy Bible.
Amen.
When I started studying the word holy, I said, well, I got to change my conversation about this. It's not just the Bible or a book. It's the holy. And I'll talk about that in time to come. Amen? So we have to realize that the words of men are a snare. All right? Say a snare. Now, listen closely, if you will, today, as I'm listening to myself, I can help you uproot fear out of your life because it's looking for a seed. Amen?
Amen?
So how do you do that? How do you do that? You simply do that by making right decisions. Say right decisions. I'm going to take you right to the Holy Bible. Amen? To the Word of God. When you and I make a quality decision, listen, a decision that we make will eventually be the decision that makes us. Psalm 118, verse 6 says this, the Lord is on my side. Listen to this now. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Listen to me. Fear is a choice. See, it's right there. If you and I hear something, we have to make a decision as to what we're going to do with what we've heard. Everything in our life demands a decision on your part and my part. If we hear something that's coming from outside, our foundation, the Holy Word of God, listen to me. I'm going to go back to the beginning in a minute because the beginning is the beginning. That's how fear can get in. Being out of balance. I'm be honest with you, I was out of balance with all the information out there and not balancing it out with this. Didn't know what was happening. I was like the frog in the water. Didn't know what was happening, but little by little by little, and then what I did one day was went like this. That's it, I'm done. Amen. I have been literally set free. Amen. My wife will tell you the same thing. I don't want to hear what man's saying because it becomes a snare. I want to hear, listen, to what God, listen, has says and what's already been done for me. See, when we get into strife and fear, it's because we are trying to work it out. And when we're trying to work it out, something that he's already done for us. The promises of God are yea and amen. They've already been established. They've already been established. See, David was saying this, I will not fear. Say that aloud to me. I will not fear. Hey, but did you? No, I didn't. But no, I didn't. But no, I didn't. Understand this. It's an act of our choice. We choose to hear something, and then what do we do with what we hear? I remember years ago, and the kids were really small, and we were on an airplane headed to hear Kenneth Hagin in Oklahoma. Where is he located, though?
Tulsa,
Oklahoma. Rodney had said, I'm going to buy you plane tickets. You come out with your whole family, and Kenneth Hagin's having his camp meeting. This was a wonderful opportunity, right? On the way there, this is the pilot. Anytime the pilot comes on, you know you shouldn't have been on that plane, or do you have any extra parachutes? You understand? And all that, listen, for 2 weeks ahead before that, there were airplanes that were having problems with their landing gear for like 2 or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden the pilot says, we're going to be making a fly around the tower to see whether our landing gear is working or not. You remember that, boys? Remember that? It gets better. The co-pilot comes back up and down the aisle, and I said, excuse me, sir, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the inspection hole to see if the landing gear's down. I said, you are up in the front and you don't know where the inspection hole is? But do you know what? We had peace in that plane because we knew who our Lord was, who our King and Savior was, and God forbid that plane went down, we were ready to go someplace called heaven, which is our home.
Amen.
Amen? And I'll never forget, we finally landed at a fire trucks and everything. It was a nice, nice experience. And we got into the airport, and here's Rodney Howard Brown talking to the press, as he would do. Say, I knew the plane would not go down because my friend, Pastor Paul, and his family were on it. I said, yo, bro, you weren't on that plane. You didn't have the co-pilot coming down the aisle trying to find out whether or not, he don't even know where the landing gear is himself. And he just chuckled and laughed at me. But we've experienced fear, but we made a decision that day to know where our ultimate place is if death were to sneak up that day. Hello, you understand what I'm saying to you? It's a decision that you and I make. Say a decision that we make. Amen? Fear does not have the right to usurp its authority on you and I. If we let it in, it's through an open door. Jesus talked about be careful what goes in your ear gate and your eye gate. We've got to be more careful today than ever before, if you understand what I'm saying to you, about what comes in and what we hear. Amen? Now, we had a testimony service on Wednesday night, but turn over to 2 Kings. Can you do that? The Lord had given me something, and now I'm going to give it to you. Fair enough? 2 Kings, and look, if you don't mind, in chapter number 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Look at verses 15 through 17, all right? Are you ready? When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Hang on now. Elisha's servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? See, that was a time to make a choice or a decision.
Yes.
Now, what the man saw, what the servant saw, struck fear in his heart. Simple. But then the man of God, hello, the woman of God, who has a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord, listen to his comment. Elisha answered, oh, it's an interesting phrase. Fear not. What's he saying? It's a choice that you make. The servant saw the enemy, but Elisha saw the enemy, but he saw something else. Fear is a spirit. Fear wants to attack you and I on every single level of our life all day long. It's not just about what's out there now that's very prominent. It's every single day he wants to cause fear to grip your heart and my heart. But I'm here to tell you that if you and I will make a decision every time something comes our way that we could be fearful about, I choose not to be fearful. He said it there, fear not. What does that mean? Hang on a minute, let me think. No, 1 + 1 = 2. Fear not means fear not. In other words, what we see has the ability to cause fear, which is an acronym, false evidence that appears real, to destroy us. Amen. Have you ever been in an automobile accident? God forbid. Some of you have. Next time you get behind the wheel, how do you feel sometime? A little bit fearful because you've been in an accident. Am I correct? You ever been hospitalized? Sometimes that's happened to me, and I'm sure you over the years. But then sometimes fear grips our heart because maybe something will happen in the future. Understand this, that if somebody in our family has died of a certain disease, then we grab a hold of that and say, well, probably it will come on me. No, get that thing out of your head and start saying what the promises of God are. In Isaiah, it says that he, Jesus, long before he came, he's called the great physician. It's always with a capital P. I go to great physicians, but there is a great physician. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. That I know is a healer. The Bible says he is a healer. I can read every single name that he represents, and I know that if I latch a hold of that and speak that out of my mouth, I will stop fear from coming. Amen? Because fear is a decision. Say it's a decision. Now listen to this now. He said, fear not, for those with us are more than those are that are with them. Amen. More are those that are with us. What are they that are with us? The promises of God have already been established. There's a foundation the Word of God represents that if I hear something, I make a choice to either put that into my heart and let that seed grow or stand up strong and say, this is what the Holy Word of God says and let it come out of my mouth. I got news for you. The enemy's not afraid of anybody, but if you and I start spitting out of our mouth the promises of God, he's going to run with his tail between his legs. I've made a decision. I choose not to live my life in fear about anything that's out there. I choose to live my life free because of what's in here. You and I have to make a conscious decision that the foundation we're building on is true. It's true. Say, fear not. Fear is a decision. Fear is a decision. About 10 years ago, probably, I woke up one morning, I couldn't walk, literally couldn't walk. I had a septic joint, didn't even know how to spell septic or what it was. I found myself that day in Albany Med having emergency surgery. It could have killed me. And at one point, they tell me, they call, I don't know what they call a code in the hospital if something is really important. Blue, is that what it is? They put me in ice. No wonder they called it code blue. I was freezing. But my was issues in my body, and they had to bring my temperature down. I could have died. Now every once in a while, my wonderful foot that God gave me flares up and wants to act up. So I get my little index finger here. Oh, I'm right-handed. Excuse me. I get my index finger. Sorry, Nick. And I point at my ankle and say, you will not give me problems because fear wants to show up and says, here's what's going to happen to you. And I go, no, it's not, because it's under the blood, and my little ankle's just doing fine. I made a decision. I made a decision. I made a decision. I can either choose to fear or not fear. Fear is a choice and it's a decision. I hope I'm getting through to everybody today. I'm just telling you what my wife and I have done in our household. We have made a decision and a choice not to fear. Are you still here? Let's look at this now a little closer. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that you may see. I'm praying that you will open your eyes and see this morning that who is for you is greater and more than, my God, than what the enemy has against you. Hello. Say hello. Listen to this now. I like the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, you open their eyes so they may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw. And behold, listen, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. About, my God. Let's back up to 15. Behold, an army with horses and chariots. You see, horses and chariots are powerful. But notice what it says in this verse. Are you ready? Full of horses and chariots of fire. He lights a fire under the enemy and he turns and runs. Fear is a decision, and it's a decision you and I can put out of the way and replace it with the word of God. Say, fear go,
fear go.
Word come. Fear stay away, word stay with me. I'm telling you, this is the igniter. Say, the word of God ignites the word of God. Are you ready now? Listen to this. Open their eyes, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. Amen. I'm here to tell you that when a problem comes your way, when a problem comes my way, I want you to understand that there are more that are for us. There are more promises here in this book. There are more angels. God has angels, listen, that we can call on. We have the Holy Spirit that we can call on. Everything that we need is right here. Everything that we need is right here. Look at me, everybody. This is what we need. It's got to get in here and then come out of here. I can't go home with you. I can't hold your hand and take you home and say, where's your Bible now? I don't know. No, that's not going to help us out. You got to have this thing ready, put it in your heart and in your mouth so you and I can say it anytime we need to say it. I'm telling you, this is going to be the salvation of this nation. It'll be the salvation of Christianity. It'll be the salvation of this generation is the word of God. Never comes back empty or void. It's powerful. It will change people's lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some people, well, let's spend time together intimately before we get married. That's against the word.
Amen.
It's a decision that's made, and then that decision comes around later, and it causes us problems. Because for some reason, it didn't work out the way we thought it did, and it causes all kinds of heartache. Understand that now. Amen.
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 So the word of God tells us what? Fear not. Say it again. Fear not. Why not? Because there's no need to fear. It's a decision. I choose to believe the word of the Lord. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, I choose to believe the word of the Lord. All right. Go over here to Psalm, if you don't mind, real quick. Psalm 91. Are you still with me today? How many of you are getting something? I'm getting something too. Psalm 91. Listen to what it says. Psalm 91. Listen to verse 7, if you don't mind. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Listen to the next verse. Only a spectator shall you be yourself inaccessible. Oh, Paul, you preached on James. God cannot sin. God can't be tempted. But when we sin, it's because we made a choice. There it is. And what did you call that choice, Paul, the kids to remember?
Sin babies.
Choices outside the word of God are sin babies. Those decisions are always going to be with us. until you come under the blood of Jesus Christ and he washes your sins clean, and no longer are they an issue in your life. That's a good one, my friend. We got a way out. If you've got a way out, would you take it? You have to understand that fear wants to take control of us more than ever before in the day that we're living in. I'm making a decision today, and I'm giving it to you as your spiritual dad. Stop letting the words of men create a snare in your life and cause you to fear. I still remember when Paulie preached during our shutdown period. He was preaching and said, hold on a minute. Get up here, Paulie. Tell him what you said. Tell him what you told everybody.
I encouraged you, if you remember, not to watch the service in your pajamas. Sitting on your couch, my cousin downstate sent me a picture of her and her cat sitting on the couch, how exciting it was. And I just started thinking that's going to allow complacency to come in. You know, and little by little, you know what? Oh, I can start the service 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. That's human nature. That's what happens. And so I encourage you to treat it like you were getting up on Sunday morning, get the kids ready, sit in the living room, worship God, stand up, clap, shout. I think it was Judy, right, that you said when I said that. You didn't feel like doing it. Oh, really, Paulie? You remember telling me that? And then as soon as you did it, you felt the anointing just come into your living room. And so be obedient. Get out of your spiritual pajamas. Stop making biscuits and get into church spiritually. Amen? Is that what you wanted me to say? No?
Yeah, we've got another conversation. Oh, boy. All right, listen to Psalm if you don't mind. Psalm 91, verse 12 says this. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? God's word and the angels of God are going to take care of you. Psalm 91 is something I try to read every day. Listen to me now. Fear is a strategy. Three things the enemy has working for him that the church should already have working for them. Number one, listen to me, discipline. Discipline. This is discipline. I mean, you know it's not the easiest thing to do. Yes, it is, because when you love somebody, guess what? Discipline. Here's the next one, organization. The enemy is organized. The church needs to be organized. The church needs to have discipline. Paulie just mentioned a discipline. If you can get out to the house of God, there's no substitute for me showing you what the Grand Canyon looks like or you going there yourself and seeing it. Amen? I gave you a definition. Listen, if fear has a strategy, then what's the strategy for God's people is faith. Simple. It's faith. Amen? Now, if you're in Genesis real quick, I'm going to wind up on this particular note. Look at Genesis chapter 3, and look what happened. My God, if you don't mind, Satan has a conversation with Eve in the Garden of Eden. How many of you remember that? He was challenging, listen, the Word of God. He was challenging what God said. And what did Eve do? Listen, she listened to him and had a conversation with him. See, that's the problem. If Eve, when she heard, you notice she wasn't like, there's a snake talking to me. No, I believe in the Garden of Eden that the animals and all those other things actually talked. She had no problem with it. As soon as this little thing called the snake, hello, had Satan get inside of him and start talking, she should have said this. The Word of God says, my Lord comes into me every day and talk to my husband and I in the garden. And this is what he said. She should have ran to her husband and said, we got to take care of this problem. Instead, she invited it in by her response. Fear showed up in the garden. Fear showed up as soon as she began to have a dialogue with something that wasn't true. It was a lie. John 8:44, he's the father of all lies. Who is? The enemy, Satan himself. So if he lies and the word of God is truth, you and I have to make a decision that Eve did not make, that I am not going to stand here and listening to you badmouthing the word of God bad-mouthing Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, and everything else that goes with it. I choose to run away from you. The Bible says flee, get away as soon as you can, because fear comes on the wings of words.
Amen.
You and I have to shut anything off. Listen, if we know this so well, when something comes that doesn't line up with the truth, remember, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yeah, not anymore. People lie because the lie has become their truth. I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to proclaim out of my mouth, and you'll do the same, the word of God, which is truth. When fear comes because of words or actions of other people, you got to stand strong and say what the word of God says. That's your defense. Say, that's my defense. It's a strategy. Now listen to me. Satan used a strategy in the Garden of Eden. Listen, he used temptation. Temptation was a strategy to get Eve to do what? Not listen to that simple voice of God. And because she did listen to it, what happened? What happened? She started questioning God's word the same way he did. He began to put a hook into her mouth, and before you know it, he was denying the word of God, and she was in hot pursuit of denying the word of God. That's not a place for you. It's not a place for me. We have to make a conscious decision to fear not. David said, I make a choice today not to fear what people say. The words of men are a snare. I make a decision today to change some of the things I'm doing in my everyday life. Some of us get consumed with what other people are saying. I want you to be consumed with this.
Amen.
Remember absolutes? I close with this. Can I give them to you one more time?
Amen.
Absolute. What does the word absolute mean? Because this is an absolute. If you ask people outside the word of God, they'll say there are no more absolutes. There's a lie.
Amen.
Because there is. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Bible. Listen to what it says. When you're absolute about something, like I am about this book called the Bible, you're sure of something and you know it will never change.
Amen.
Some people get married, takes them a few years, and all of a sudden, that's not the same person I married. Have you ever heard that one? People change. Things change. The word of God is absolute and it will never change. Remember the new vehicle you got? And then after a while, it changes because this vehicle has never had a driver like you or I. The word of God being absolute is without doubt.
Amen.
One of the companions to fear is doubt. Doubt is the lead-in for fear. As soon as Eve began to doubt, fear showed up. Are you still in Genesis? Take a quick look at me, and we're going to wind this thing down. Trust me, I'm even getting a little something today. The Lord called unto Adam and said to him, where are you? Look what happens in verse number 10. He said, I heard the sound of you walking. In other words, it wasn't his voice. He was walking in the garden, and I was afraid. Bingo, there it is. What is afraid? Fear. There was no fear in the garden. None. Until the word of God was challenged. The word of God wants to be challenging you and I today more than ever before. You don't still believe that book, do you?
Yes.
You still go to church? You go to a midweek service? Really? Wow. No, it's not wow. It's wow because, wow, the Holy Ghost showed up. Amen? So what happened? He was afraid. Now listen to what God says to him here. This is powerful. My God. He said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What does God say? Get the next verse now, because I want to share a little thing with you and we'll be on our way. He said, who told you you were naked? It wasn't about him wearing clothes. He was clothed with the presence and glory of God. Because the Bible says he made fig leaves and sewed them together to cover his nakedness. Well, why didn't he do that before? Because fear came in because their eyes were opened and they no longer were obedient to God and his word, they became disobedient. Are you hanging on now? Amen. Listen to this now. This is just powerful. Get into your spirit. Say, fear came from the garden. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The answer was yes. Listen to this now. Listen, this just comes into my spirit. Adam and Eve tended the trees in the garden. They bore fruit for them. They go from tending them to hiding behind them. How sad. You and I had to have a Savior because of the actions of two people that God placed in the garden. And the Bible says an angel had to come and guard so they could no longer get back in. Once sin came in, there needed to be a Savior. But God, being a loving God, and I'm going to end right here, listen. He made for them something to put on, get rid of the fig leaves, because the fig leaves represented man. He made what? Out of skins. The first time blood was shed was in the garden. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. God had to kill one of his own creation and prepare skins for them to cover their nakedness. See, God never stops loving us. If we mess up and yield to temptation, he never, ever holds that against us because he sent somebody named Jesus Christ who was innocent, who knew no sin. He hung on the cross of Calvary, died for our sins. He wants you to know that everything is all right. It's going to be all right. Don't live in fear. Don't live a life that is fearful. Live a life that is fearless. We can do that as we attach ourselves to the word of God. Now, can I tell you what's going to happen? I know this is going to happen. I'm just telling you prophetically. You're going to see this thing differently than you ever have before. Amen. Wherever the source is that brings fear into your life and your home, the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you. I'm just telling you, this is the truth out of the parsonage. My wife and I were walking. What is this I feel? Kept feeling, just not, something's not right. Why? It's just the world, hon. Everything's going crazy. I mean, there's everybody's just crazy. When we stopped, all of that sense was gone. We didn't realize that because of what we are listening to and what we are watching, not all the time, 24/7, we were just picking up on it. It caused that spirit to be attracted to us. I'm attracting the Holy Ghost, not some other stuff that's out there. Are you hearing me today? The Holy Ghost is going to bring conviction, listen, on you and on me, that we need to be balanced. Say balanced. There's no way you can eat ice cream 24/7 and not pay the consequences. There's consequences for our actions. You got to eat a balanced diet in the natural, am I right? See, in the natural, that's important. God says, why don't you come and eat? Come and dine, the master calls. Come and dine. He wants to hear you say, yes, master. Can I sit with you like Adam and Eve did before they messed up? Yes, you can, because the blood of Jesus has covered your sins. Amen. Bow your heads right where you are. Some of you have been watching and listening around the globe and maybe on the internet somehow, shortwave radio, so many ways we get the gospel out. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, died for your sins. He's come that you may be free, free from sin, free from temptation, free from anything that comes that's causing you a problem. He wants you to know that he loves you so much that he gave his life. John 3:16, everyone's seen that scripture verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should never, ever perish, but they'll have everlasting life. Right now, if you want to ask him into your life, I want to say a prayer with you. Those that are in this audience right now, if you've never asked Christ into your life, you've been trying to dig a hole out of a hole, trying to make this work and that work, it's not going to work without Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life. Say this with me, everybody, Harvest. Stand up right where you are. Let's do it right. If you're watching and listening, if you're here in this audience, say this. Jesus, thank you for dying on the old rugged cross for my sins. I couldn't get the job done. I've tried other things. But you, with the stroke of the cross, have caused salvation to come my way. Today I'm free. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. and I'm making a decision to serve you every day of my life. If you don't have a Bible, young man, young lady, teenager, if you don't have a Bible, go to a church, find a good one where they'll give you the Bible, the Word of God, where the man of God or woman of God will preach the Word of God, capture their vision, and live your life to its fullest with the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Let's welcome all those folks. Come on, church.